Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny, and I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica.
And we want to welcome everyone to the show tonight. It's a wonderful Wednesday evening here in Central Florida. It's cold tonight for us.
It's cold.
I know. You're wearing a sweater even.
I'm wearing a sweater, though I am sweating in my sweater.
I'm freezing. It's sad.
And, you know, for us, it was like 80 degrees this weekend, beautiful, and now it went to 40 last night, and I'm going, what is going on with this weather?
Because the god of weather is trying to kill us. It's crazy, because everyone up north knows, you know, we get forced into these, like, springs, and then the flowers start to bloom, and then all of a sudden we get these cool fronts,
uh-huh.
And so it's back and forth and back and forth, horrible on the allergies, but hey, you know what? Listen to us complain when the North went through so much snow.
I know, and they went through all that terrible weather, and oh my gosh, it's 40, how terrible. We have no snow, nothing.
There were so many people driving to Florida during spring break that there was a gas shortage, and there wasn't enough gas. And that's why some of the pumps we went to.
I wondered about that.
You saw them all covered. Because what they do, I don't know what they do up north here. They cover the pump with a piece of plastic bag,
mm-hmm.
and they just tie a knot around it, which is the universal sign for go away.
Well, it was all the regular gas.
Yeah, it was, and it was completely sold out. And they said there was a shortage because there was such a big jump in people and traveling to the southern states, and they think it had in large part to do with the weather up north.
Well, and I believe that. I was actually in Stuart, Florida this weekend, and there's a large retirement community there.
Yeah.
And a lot of snowbirds. Oh my gosh, it was packed.
Was it really?
Filled with people way before the normal season.
Wow. See, that's, no, that's not for me. I don't like a lot of people.
Well, sometimes you have to be with people.
No, I don't like people. I don't like people. I don't like a lot of people.
This was a lot of people.
I was at Playlist Live this weekend,
uh-huh.
which is, I went with my daughter because I'm a good mom. And I am of a mother to have gone to this.
Uh-huh.
I loved it. I had a good time. But it was a lot of walking and standing and what, like 12 hours a day.
And I've never heard of any of those people before.
Well, if you watch YouTube and you watch any of the ones that have like half a billion hits combined,
uh-huh.
Glozell, she did the Cinnamon Challenge, and she did the Salt one, remember?
I don't really know her either.
Dan is Not on Fire, and I waited 4 hours with my daughter so she can get in to see Dan is Not on Fire, which I thought she said Dan is on fire. So I'm thinking, all right, well, I get to see somebody on fire after 4 hours, but no, he wasn't even on fire. So I'm like,
so what's the on fire thing about?
Well, these are, most of them are predominantly from the UK, so they all have these wonderful little British accents, and they're adorable. You know, it's mostly guys and mostly girls that attended.
I see.
But last year there were about 2,000 people, so about 20%. This year there were 8,000.
Wow.
So we waited in line 2 hours to even get in the door, and then once you got in, you had to go to other lines, and I'm going to say they grossly oversold the event, and they didn't have crowd control the way they needed to. So the first day did not go well. And I actually ended up talking to the head of security. I haven't talked to you, so you don't know any of this.
No,
I ended up talking
not.
To the head of security, his name was Wes, and he was very good, and kudos to him, because this is at the Carib Convention Center.
Caribou?
No, it wasn't Caribbean. It was Carib Resort, I think
okay.
it was called. But it's the World Center Drive, World Center Convention Center, and he actually, I said, you know, we've been online here for 4 hours. We started out fifth. Now we're like 50th because people keep, you know, and no one's controlling it. And I said, so he said, come with me, and he took me and my daughter and two people who we met online who were really nice. So I said, oh, they're with me.
and lucky for them.
He put us right in front. So, you know, and actually eight other people. So I got a whole bunch of us in. So I became mom for the entire weekend. So anytime anyone saw me, like, hi, mom, you know, which is great
cute.
Because then I got cuts, too. So it was kind of nice.
So
it worked out well.
The whole idea is just to go and meet these people.
Jenna Marbles, you've seen her in her videos.
I have seen her.
She was there. As a matter of fact, I had front row seats for her, but then my daughter said, well, that's great, but the one I really wanted to see was this Dan's Not on Fire. So as a mom, what do? You say, okay, well, I'll go. So we stood in shifts. You know, because it was like 90,000 degrees in this hallway. They had like 800 people in this hallway in four different rows. Anyway, three girls passed out, and then I went to one of the employees and said, look, I'm sure this is like a fire marshal call, and people need water. They're passing out, and this and so they.
And this was indoors?
This was indoors, but, you know, they just didn't anticipate Well, they sold the tickets, so they should have anticipated.
So they should have anticipated, yeah. No
it
kidding.
Was just poor planning of where, you know, you don't know how many people are going to see which ones are going to be the most popular. They shouldn't have had them next to each other.
Yeah.
So they actually had three in a row.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then people were already online for the next signing. So it just got kind of crazy. And one of the employees gave me his bottle of water. He said, "We all got issued one. Take mine and go bring it
that
to the people."
That was sweet.
And I thought that was really nice. I mean, the seal wasn't broken.
So the staff was nice.
The staff was nice. The security team, the crew, they were all wonderful. And kudos to them all, because it's difficult when you're not anticipating and you hadn't planned for the crowd control the way
right.
they needed to. I think they're going to move the venue to a bigger hotel next year, and it'll be just as great. And I got to tell you, these YouTubers are great people.
They are. Well, this is what they do for a living now, basically, right?
They do it for a living, and what they did is even after, you know, like they'll do like a meet and greet, which is basically people sitting in chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I wasn't getting my picture taken, but, you know, my daughter would go up, get her picture taken, shake their hand. Everyone gets a hug with YouTube.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's the role. So they hug every single person, and you were allowed to take selfies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and take photos, and then you move on. So there was, like, no talk or no, you know. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, we're done now?
You waited 4 hours.
We're done?
That.
She goes, yeah, now we have to go on to this one and to this one and to,
oh my
I don't even remember, Ajax, Axel, I don't know what their names was. Alfie was one of them. Well, and then what they would do is they would tweet, because everything is so technically, you know, centered here. So we're, like, walking, and we had to walk from the convention center back to the main hotel and then back again, because the YouTubers were walking around, and we couldn't miss them.
Oh, wow.
So we got, like, finally, you know, after 12 hours the first day, and it was really only, like, 9.5 hours the second day,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, my legs are done. We're good. I think you saw as much as you've
right.
gotten pictures. You've shaken hands, you know. And she goes, yeah, Mom, thanks. And as we're walking out, all of a sudden another one of the famous YouTubers tweeted, I'm going to be next to Tower 2 at this time. And,
mm-hmm.
and we were, like, 80th online. And it takes about 45 seconds for each person.
That's a lot of time.
So I knew I had another hour. And
there
were 1,500 people online behind us.
Wow.
And so we stood. And I thought to myself, I should go to heaven just based on that.
You deserve an award.
Based
on
that,
I don't think I can do that.
It was so wild and crazy. You know, it really was wild and crazy. And I actually have read for some of these people. And so I met with some of them privately, which was kind of cool and kind of fun.
Neat.
So that was kind of neat, just because, you know, they wanted to do a reading there.
Sure.
So that was kind of neat. But and I also, we had the opportunity to meet a couple of the people that started YouTube and who started channels. I always find it interesting how people market themselves.
Uh-huh.
And my question was, and if anyone's listening, is how do you make money on YouTube? Because, you know,
they don't really understand that.
Because I went to one of the business meetings, and Mike, I was curious, like, how are these YouTubers making money? I mean, realistically.
Well, they say after a million hits, then you start getting paid, right?
And that is what they say. But I spoke to a girl who actually worked for YouTube and now has left YouTube to start her own channel.
Uh-huh.
And she said, she's actually working for HGTV now.
Okay.
And she said, maybe someone's getting that. She said, I wouldn't say they aren't, but I really can't confirm that I know of anyone who's
really?
Getting that. And I said, well, how do they really make money? She said, merch, which, by the way, means merchandise.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay, and I said, oh, and I picked that up really quick. I'm like, okay, so there's like this lingo you have to learn. But it's through merchandise and then selling ads on your page.
Okay.
Okay, so on your YouTube.
Right.
So, and the more popular you become, you actually then become employed by YouTube.
Interesting.
So they don't want to lose you because you're so successful.
Right, right, right.
So there you go. So, but you still look at it. And one of the people there, Glozell, who I love because she cracks me up. She's done these, and I've seen them because my kids have showed them to me. And I really respect people who know how to market themselves because it's not easy, you know. And you have to just have that special touch. There is a formula, but no one seems to know what it is for YouTube. And she was there, and she said, you can take pictures, but I will not be signing anything unless it, you know, you happen to have purchased one of my books, and I'll be happy to sign
clever.
That. And I thought, kudos to you. Smart. That was really smart, because they're not really made. They're devoting 2 to 3 days a week, every week, to this.
Wow. Wow.
And that means they can't work their regular job when they're doing it. So
right.
they should be getting,
so
you know,
should get paid for
some kind of renewal. Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was interesting. It was a good time.
Very
good time was had by all. My feet loved coming home Sunday night. That's all I'll say on that. But it was, we both had a busy weekend. You got to go to South Florida. I got to go to
Got to see my nephew's baby, which was awesome.
And that was always nice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Little babies, they're so cool.
Babies are so cool.
We just now got a picture of somebody that we both are very good friends with, and she just put her baby in one of those, like, baby sacks, and she was so happy. And I think it's going to be great because now she can, like, move her hands and carry things
free.
While the babies,
yeah.
She had to wait till she was old enough so she could hold her neck up.
Right,
you know, so
right.
It's very good. It's gonna be great. It's going to be great. So as always, tonight we're going to be doing free angel readings, angel psychic readings. And if you'd like to get one of those readings, give us a holler at 323-679-0882. That's 323-679-2882.
No, 0882.
0882. Jessica, oh my gosh,
I'm
the first
sorry.
Time you've ever done that.
I wasn't focused on what you were
that,
saying.
That's okay.
It's
so,
323-679-0882. And
there
I always dial it in myself.
I know, you do, and I was really surprised you did that. So give us a call tonight. We're here. We'd love to chat with you. And we always ask everybody to try and keep it to one question so we can get as many callers in on the show as we possibly can. Just to go down the queue so you know who's in line, we've got an 857, a 504, a 240, a 732. Those will be the first ones we're going to be taking here. We're also going to talk tonight a little bit about how to be happy. How can we be happy as human beings? What can we do to almost guarantee happiness in our lives? And I know that the email that was sent out today was a little weird because it said, you know, our Amish or Amish, how do you say it?
Amish.
Thank you. It's Amish. Got it. So that was the tone. Are Amish people happier than you and me and everybody else listening
because
today?
Maybe because they're called Amish people.
Maybe because they go, see, that's it. It's like, I love that. No, I don't think that's the reason because I actually did do some research on that, and I think it'll be interesting to hear. But we're going to learn about that tonight, too.
Cool.
So the 10 steps that we can all do very easily, very simple changes we can make in our lives to almost guarantee happiness. And I went through the list, and I was kind of surprised.
Get rid of our clothes and wear long dresses.
No. Okay. Nor do we have to sew our dresses, nor do we have to bake our own bread or talk on a string with two tin cans, because that would not work. Because how do you text?
Have a cow in your living room?
Okay, you know, I don't think the Amish have cows in their living room, and we're going to get email. And I do happen to know that cows cannot go downstairs.
Right,
did
they can
notice?
Only go up.
Yes, and I found this out tonight because my daughter thought it would be funny. My daughter said, let's get a cow and put it upstairs and watch Daddy go nuts because he won't know how to get it out because it can't go downstairs.
That'd be pretty hilarious.
Which is, you know, let's give Daddy a stroke. Good idea. Probably not a good idea. But we are going to be taking calls tonight, so I guess we should probably...
Take a call.
Let's get right to it.
And hopefully they got the number that I didn't give them.
Well, if it's 323-679-0882, they've got it. Well, the first caller is calling in from 857 with a prefix of 334. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Melissa.
Melissa, well, welcome to the show, Melissa. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, which, by the way, has one of the highest tick, bites, and Lyme disease issues in the country. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but it is pretty high. It is pretty
high.
I
know.
There's a lot
of
cases every summer, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be really careful. You got to watch that. And I was talking to some friends because we go to Maine a lot during the summer, and where we go up in the Western Lakes region, it's so cold that they don't get a chance to complete their two-year life cycle. So the cases are much less. Yeah, much less.
Right.
So that's a good thing. Okay, so I'll tell you what we're going to do here. It sounds like we've lost our link inside, so I'm going to ask Jessica to go ahead and dial in and use the PIN code. In the meantime, I'll go ahead with your reading. I'm going to say a short prayer, if that's okay. I like to always say a prayer before we start. Okay. All righty. God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, saints, and angels, I ask that this reading be accurate, truthful, and bring blessings to everyone involved. Please safeguard this reading and all the readings we do tonight. Make sure that only God's pure helpers of divine light come through. Amen. All right, we're good to go. So how can I help you tonight, Melissa?
I just want to know when the finances get better, either through, you know, work or entrepreneurial efforts. I'm just very frustrated, and I'm frustrated.
You know what? No, I understand that. Here's the thing I'm seeing. Right now I don't see a big change in your finances. I don't want to lie to you, and I don't want to mislead you. I don't see a big change in your finances. Where I do see a change is at the three-month point, a very subtle change. But then I see another big jump right about at the eight-month point. So at the three-month and at the eight-month point, I do see a change in your finances. It's maybe not what you were hoping for, but it's certainly what we've got, okay? I wish I could tell you that it was going to be a huge jump in 3 months, but I don't see that, okay?
What are we talking about, though, in terms of jump? Like, what are we talking about here?
I see a minor amount in 3 months, and in 8 months, probably about a 10 to 12% increase.
Wow. So, I mean, 3 months from now, we're talking like July?
Yep. And we're talking that percentage point at that point will be like maybe 1% to 2%. And then once you hit the eight-month mark, then you're going to see a 10 to 12% increase. Now, I do see change involved with that, which must mean either a change in job or location or positions.
Okay, so this increase that's coming in 3 months, mm-hmm. is that, like, through work? Is it not through work? Is it, like...
The increase that I see coming is through work, but I have to ask you this question. Are you looking for another job? Because I feel like that's part of what's going on here.
Well, I don't have a job right now.
Ah, well,
so
that would explain
like...
it. Okay, well, then I would say that the increase that we see at 3 months is probably a new job, but... I see another jump in 8 months, so that's either increased responsibilities, a promotion, or another new job after that. So at 3 months, we're seeing 1% to 2%, and then at 8 months is where we're seeing the total jump combined of the 10% to 12%.
Okay, so...
Don't shoot the messenger.
No,
I want
no,
it to
I'm,
be
I'm...
better for you.
I'm not shooting the messenger. I'm just like, all right, God, well, how do I survive this? How do I, you know, how do bills get paid? How do I survive this? Like, I'm trying, and I'm trying to be positive, and I'm trying to go about mm-hmm. it the right way, and it's just
and,
very frustrating.
And you need to keep doing
because...
that. Don't change that. Don't go back to some of the things you could have done in the past and may have done in the past. Don't do that because it's gonna wreak havoc with your karma, and you know that. So stick with the plan.
Quick question. Well, I don't, at this stage in the game, when it comes to survival, I'll deal with the karma later. I'm supposed to be enrolling into a certificate program, and I'm wondering, do I get funding for it?
The answer is yes, off the charts you do.
Okay.
Yes, off the charts. That's what I'm getting. It's that strong of a yes. Now, I don't always get it that strong, so I want to be really frank with you here. Yes, off the charts, okay?
Okay, because I'm applying for a scholarship before I take out any more loans, and the scholarship is kind of what I'm worried about because...
Understood. Mm-hmm.
They're more
and,
like...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's off the charts, yes. And it's funny because I had a gentleman call me today who had taken a chemistry test, and he needed to get a good grade on it. And he had called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, how do I do? And I said, you did great. You're going to call me with a fist pump. And he called me today to tell me he actually got 100% on it. And so I'm getting the same strong feeling about this, so I'm not concerned.
Okay.
Okay. And keep this in mind. I know right now you're rubbing pennies together, literally pennies. But somehow, some way, you're going to see your way through this. I can't tell you how, but I know you're going to. Just keep living the right life the way you've been trying to do, and I promise you, this is going to turn around for you.
Can I just share on this really quick? I thank you for your sentiments, but I think when you get to a point where you're like, you know what, God, I have been faithful, I have done it all, and I'm not saying that He's not capable, because He is. I'm just,
amen.
The human part of me is frustrated. So now I'm like, you know what, I've done everything that I could possibly do to do this the right way. So now the human part of me is like, we need to live. I'm tired of suffering. So if it's a matter of karma, I'll just deal with it. I'm going to create karma anyway.
You are going to create karma. I always like to say make it a good karma. However, let me say this. You've gotten this far, haven't you? You still have a roof over your head.
I'm tired. I'm ready to live. Like, you know, I'm 36. I'm ready to live.
I know, but you know what? You're going to get that opportunity. It's going to happen. Don't give up, because God's not giving up on you.
Okay? Thank you.
You're welcome, Melissa. Know that we're praying for you, okay?
Thank you.
And call us back. Let us know how well you're doing, because I'm sure you're going to be doing much better.
The 3 months is a long time, though.
3 months is a long time, but there are other ways that you can acquire money that are not illegal and not going to affect your karma. Focus on those ways. That would be my suggestion. All right, sweetie.
Okay.
Good luck, okay?
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, honey. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, it is hard. I know. There's nothing more difficult than for somebody to say, oh, yeah, just, you know, fight the good fight, you know, don't do anything wrong, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to stop a foreclosure
or an
eviction. And so I can understand that frustration that I heard and felt from her. It's hard. It's not easy. But I still believe in fighting the good fight, because I know that last minute it just always seems, God seems to prevail, and you're provided for it. You know, there are a lot of people through this economy that we have gone through and are still going through. That, you know, people have suffered greatly, and yet if you fight the good fight, in the end, you end up where you're supposed to be. Because I always say God knows your life from beginning to end and from end to beginning.
Right.
So there you go.
And karma is something you don't want to mess around with.
No, you don't, because, you know.
Because at the end of the road, you know, you're going to look back at your life and go, wow.
You know, I mean, have you ever done anything that you felt was, that you would want to reveal on the show? I would not ask you to reveal anything. I'm trying to think if I...
I have always tried. I mean, anything...
You're an extremely moral person.
Well, just because if I ever lie or do anything wrong, it bites me back so badly. I just learned that I can't.
You can't.
I just can't.
No. And it's true. I will share a very, very brief story. I don't even know if I want to share this story.
I don't know.
But I'm going to, because I'm human like everyone else. I was young. You were working at that bank, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was both working at a bank. I was going to college at night, and I was working at a bank during the day. They were paying for me to go to school, which was great. And I was up for the position of assistant branch manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me I had it, and then all of a sudden they brought in this girl who had already completed her degree, and they said, oh, we're going to give it to her. And I was furious.
Which
because she...
a terrible thing to do.
It was terrible. I was really upset. It was kind of devastating. And so she had come into work, didn't know how to do anything, and was sloppy and lazy and didn't... And she used to leave all the bank vault codes out for each teller, all their draws. And she'd just leave it out on the counter for anyone to see. And I was constantly taking it and putting it back for her. And then I came in one morning after having to help all the tellers proof out every day because she didn't know how to do it, da-da-da-da-da-da. I was just so fed up, and I saw, and I'm going to tell you, I saw the cheat sheet there with all the tellers. And with my elbow, I just slid it under the coffee machine. I did this. I will admit I did this. It was a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't find it. She got in a ton of trouble.
Uh-huh.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And they removed her from the position, sent her off to the Foreign Trade Department, and promoted me. And I never felt so awful in my life.
I bet.
So awful. And that burden of what I had done was so hard for me that I remember the first day, it, like, none of the tellers proved. And I was the person to go to when someone didn't prove. I found it, couldn't find it. I was freaking out. And I remember the branch manager came over to me and she said, go sit down. She says, you're getting unnerved. And I was. And you know why? Because I knew.
Because you were freaking out going, wow.
Look what I did. Mm-hmm. How could I do that? And I would never, ever do that again. If I could never do that again.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to do, but I did it.
Well, and people do things in anger without thinking sometimes.
I just felt so, things were so unjust. But the karma came back on me because I ended up leaving that job, just deciding I hated it, and ended up moving to Florida in the end. So there you go.
See?
See,
it wasn't meant to be for you.
No, it wasn't. And I made my life, I'm sure, a lot more difficult by doing that.
Yep.
So, there you go.
Well, lesson learned.
And
right?
I'm admitting that I actually did this. I'm not above reproach. I'm human. I make mistakes.
And everybody makes mistakes.
And that's the other thing is we all make mistakes and no one should beat themselves up. It was a great learning experience for me. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to see how karma smacked me back in the face so immediately, And by the way, that girl ended up marrying this great guy. We became really good friends. I never told her. And if she's listening to the show, she's probably going, that's what happened to them. But she used to crack me up. His family owned a hardware store in town and just the nicest guy. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember her, don't you?
Yep, I do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So interesting. Life is interesting. Take from that what you will. Let's go ahead and take our next caller. Our next caller is calling in from area code 504 with a prefix of 813. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. I know who this is.
Indeed. It's me.
Indeed.
We're talking about the same me.
I think we're talking about the same you. This is our friend from New Orleans. And how's it going down there?
It's cold.
Is it really?
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, like there's no snow, and that's fine. And, it's just weird because yesterday it was like 70 degrees. And then... It'll drop into the 30s, and then it'll come back up. And then, so you put away the winter clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, wait, I'm freezing. And the most annoying thing is that it changes so fast so that, like, at 5 p.m., you're like, I'm settling down for the evening. It's 90 degrees in here now. And then it's like 40 degrees this morning. So
You wake up and you're freezing.
And you turn on the air conditioning, and at 2 a.m., you're like, I'm dying. Why is it so cold in here?
Yeah, exactly. We're going through it here as well, and I actually ended up wrapping myself in a blanket this morning because I was so stubborn that I didn't want to turn on the heat because yesterday I had the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
So
it's bizarre.
I know. Crazy weather we're having.
I had blanket out. I had no other option. I was like, electric blanket.
Yeah.
So I'll just turn it down before you
get hot. There you go. So how's it going in New Orleans? What can we do for you tonight?
Okay. So my thing now is this, and maybe like the happy show is the thing I need to hear, although I am definitely happier than the honest because I saw some reality show with them and that didn't look good. But what I'm saying is I'm so out of balance for me and like I'm not sure what's going on. So like... I'm the doctor, and, like, my health seems okay, and, like, oh, try these supplements, and, and I'm trying to sleep more, and I'm walking every day, but, like, I'm just so out of sync, like, these last few months, that it's just unreal, and then I'm trying to finish school, which, if God is good, I'll graduate in May, if not,
amen.
I don't really have a plan for that after that.
You will. You'll graduate in May.
Well, that's good, because I feel like I'm just scraping by at this point.
You'll graduate. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, if I can pass statistics, and that's just a D. If I can just get a D,
I know. I hear you. And yeah, that used to be the easy class statistics, and it's not anymore.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
I know. I know.
I've never seen anything like that. People can hand me pages of stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to answer these? Some conversation we had in this class was supposed to prepare me to answer these? This is a real question?
Well, you know, see, statistics is not based on common sense. My daughter's psych class, she got a B, and she hasn't cracked the book open, not once. And I'm like, how could you not do that? I mean, of all people, you should be. She goes, it's common sense, Mom. Like, okay. But see, in statistics, you can't do that.
Oh, you can't fudge your way through that.
Mm-mm. No, you can't.
I spent all afternoon trying to figure out what E meant, and I'm like, I don't know what shit. Well, the software, what does E mean?
That's the problem. It suddenly becomes like chemistry, you know?
Yeah, and they seem to think that, like, I have some knowledge of math that I don't have. You know, like, I think back to geometry, and I'm like, that was like 40 years ago. Geometry,
right.
I barely passed geometry. I had a very nice teacher who was a priest, and he fell back on me. And that's the only reason I passed geometry at all.
Yep.
I
love
nothing.
That. Never pass up the mercy grade. I'll take it every time.
Oh, I would take it in a minute.
Like, it's all I had. He knew I was never going to pass geometry. He would just smile and nod at me and go, this test might have gotten away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You think? It was
you
never here. I never had it.
I drew pictures of ghosts for answers, so I'm pretty sure you knew that. I think though, if you could scrape by with a D, you're going to be fine, and I think you will scrape by with a D. I do not think you're going to get an F.
Oh, that's good, because God bless, I cannot spend another semester.
I know.
And you can't tell me retake it, because I'm not really, dude.
Yeah, well, you know what, though, and let's not draw a line in the sand, because you know as well as I do, if you had to, you would, and you'd pass it. But I don't see that that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to have to, you know, take it again. But what I do want to say is this. Have you had your hormones checked? Do you think this is hormonal?
I'm starting to think that it's hormonal, but no, I have not.
Because
I kind of
feel like that's the direction this is going in. I don't know why, but I feel like it's like almost like a hormone change for you. And it's not a bad thing. It just means it's a change, and you feel out of sync. It's kind of like listening to an orchestra, and some of the instruments are not tuned correctly. That's kind of how you feel, right?
Yeah, it's just bizarre. It's like I can be really physically tired all the time,
right?
No reason. But then, like, internally, my brain doesn't shut down. And so, like, internally, I'm like, okay, I feel like internally I'm about to, like, have a seizure or lose it. Or start screaming at people for no reason. And then externally people are like, have you died? Are you okay? You know,
okay.
I look like something from the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, well, that's not good. That's definitely not good. I think that's part of it. I think there's another segment of this, and that is almost becoming frozen with fear. And let me explain what I'm talking about. You know that you're coming up to May where – for all intents and purposes, you're going to graduate and finally have your degree, right?
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do with it?
I was going to put it on the wall, maybe, but maybe not.
I think putting it on the wall is a good idea, but what is your – do you feel you know what direction you want to go in as soon as you graduate?
Okay, I had a direction.
I know.
Which was apply to law school. So,
mm-hmm.
like, based on, like, the lucky thing is that the one that I was actually really going to go through if I got in, the deadline
mm-hmm.
is until, like, August. Like, everybody else was, like, December, and I was like, I'm not even taking an LSAT. Like, some, I don't know what you're talking about. But,
right.
yeah. No, it was the middle of finals. Nobody takes LSAT in the middle of finals. At least I know.
Nobody does.
Other
no.
people, knock yourself out. I'm not the one.
Right.
I was going to fail a class but pass an LSAT. But, so,
I would love to see you as an attorney.
No, and then I just burned out. And so now I'm like, I'm going to take my LSAT in the summer, but maybe I'm not even going to graduate. I'm nowhere near finishing that research project. I think I have to present that research project that I haven't finished in a week. why do people keep asking for these assignments? You know, and I'm looking at professors like, you were serious about that 7-page paper, really?
Yeah, really?
You really
for
want
real?
To read that from all of us?
And some of them will read it and some of them won't. But the point is, this is crunch time. And if there's ever a time that you have to rise to the occasion, this is it.
And I know you can do it.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to be able to pull this off. There's
okay.
just no doubt in my mind, okay? I know you can pull this off. Now, let me tell you the flip side to this, okay? The flip side to this is this. Not only do you have to pull this off, but I think that there's a lot of anxiety of where do I go from here once I graduate? Do I go to law school? Do I not go to law school? Can I get into law school? What am I going to do? Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you not have a sister that graduated from a very prestigious law school?
Two from the same school.
Okay. And neither one of them, I believe, well, one is practicing. The other is not,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Okay. 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 And do you feel that there's pressure on you from any of that?
No, I don't think so. Like, the one who's practicing doesn't even know that I'm looking at law school. So there's
okay.
there's not, like, there's any, like, push there. The one who's
okay.
not practicing is like, oh, yeah, you can get in law school. Like, this isn't a drama. Like, worst-case scenario, if I were to go to the way back home.
Right.
One of her best friends in high school and his dad, her dad and my dad were friends, and the law school, one of the bigger law schools back home, is named after him, and, you know, he,
right.
So, like, a phone call would be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, we can,
right.
you know.
So if it had to come to that. But
yeah,
you're not the kind of person who likes to go that route. I know you better than that.
No, and
from
she
just
don't care, and
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this. But, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Let's put it this way. I think that part of your stress is also built upon not knowing what direction you're going to go in. I've said this before on the show. It's kind of like you're in a boat, you're in the middle of the ocean, and you don't know which way you're going to go. You're waiting for the wind to pick up to see which direction it blows you in because you're not sure what you're going to do at the end of May. And I think what's important for you to notice right now is that don't think about what happens at the end of May. Don't think about what happens the day after you graduate. Just focus on that as being your goal, you know, because you're the only one putting a time frame on it. Nobody else is.
Yeah, this is true.
Right?
And then it's like a time frame on everything. So when you're in school, people are like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a student. And then they're like, okay. And so it's like,
I know.
Are you working? I'm a student. Do you have kids?
Right.
No, I'm a student. Are you married? No, I'm a student. Like,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to think of any of these things. And now it's like, oh, maybe
yeah.
I should have been doing some of these things.
Well, no. I think being a student makes a lot of sense, and I don't think you should be working right now because you needed to focus, and this is something you've put off for too long, so you need to do this. But I would be careful of falling into that I have to know what direction I'm going to go in as soon as I graduate. Give yourself a little time. You're okay. You're okay. I think once you graduate, it's going to be like, okay, I made it. Oh, my gosh. Thank God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you know, maybe I can take on that other challenge that I thought that would just be unsurmountable if I tried to even think about it, you know, last month.
Okay. That sounds like a me plan.
Okay, it does sound like a you plan, doesn't it? You can definitely do this. I'm not concerned.
Because I can't be Amish. I'm not even making that up. I can't do that.
You...
Maybe you should become Amish.
Maybe that's the solution. June 1st, you go off to an Amish community. I know people who know people.
Black Amish people. Like,
I don't think there are. I actually don't think there are. Pat, you know what? That's a really good question. Are there? I don't think there are.
I don't think there are. I mean, I don't think
I have
there's
no
like
idea.
Sort of a rule or something.
I don't think there's a rule.
Speak of, you know, like a segregated country club. They're like, we just don't talk about it, but it's understood. That's not what we do.
The first time time I've ever heard of an Amish community as being referred to as a country club. That
yeah, they're all laughing right now going, really?
Really? Country club? Are you kidding me? Well, you know, stay on. Definitely listen because I want you to hear what I have to say about Amish people, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. You know we adore you and we love it when you call in.
Have a good night.
Okay, you
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. She is so much fun.
She is hilarious.
I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to get to meet her.
Yeah.
And we'll just probably
good
just,
reason to go to New Orleans.
I think we need to go to New Orleans. I think we need to because we want to go there anyway, right?
I
want to
go to Mardi Gras once in my life.
Me too, because I told my kids that the day I die, I want them at my, you know, at my funeral to throw Mardi Gras beads.
Okay.
And they're like, why? And I said, because I want you to celebrate my life, not my death.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I really want that to happen.
Well, so we have to go to Mardi Gras
but
so you can experience it.
I think I have to do that. Yeah, but that way I can experience it then before I go, right?
Well, you want to do while you're alive.
Yeah, right. That's true. Makes a lot of sense. Well, she is definitely going to graduate. She's going to be fine. I just think it's such. This is what I call kill time. It's every project is due. You're freaking out.
It's very stressful.
And that stress makes you shut down sometimes
yes.
and zone out. And that's the problem because if it wasn't, you know.
And that's
in,
why she feels so weird.
I mean that. And I think that's a little hormonal issue going
that's
on
possible.
Too. She'd make an incredible attorney though.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no doubt in my mind. Now I know, I think I remember where her sister went to. I'm going to say it out loud. It was either Yale or Harvard.
Oh, really?
Both her sisters.
Wow.
Our
family.
I can't say it on air, but I'm going to tell you they are very, very smart. I wouldn't want to reveal who she is.
Okay, so you just said that on air.
Well, no, there's a lot of people went to Yale and Harvard, but they don't know the connection. So, kudos to her. One of these days we have to talk to her about Zumba again because that's really more fun than you can ever imagine. Okay, I want to talk very briefly about how in the last few years psychologists and researchers have been digging up some really hard data on a question that was basically left to philosophers, which is what makes us happy, right? I mean, what makes us happy? What can we do to make ourselves happy? So they had researchers from Stanford. They had researchers from Harvard. They had people that came in from different areas of life, and they were trying to scientifically prove strategies for getting happy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, these are the 10 strategies that they came up with. And I want people who are listening, I'm going to go through these kind of quickly because I know we've got a lot of callers in the queue, and I want to get to every single one if I can.
Right.
But these are strategies that you can use to create more happiness in your life. It almost, it's like a happiness recipe, if you will.
Okay.
All right, so number one, savor everyday moments. Stop and smell a rose or watch children playing on the playground, unless you're a perv, in which case don't you dare stop. Study participants, because seriously, I'm always worried. When people watch kids on a playground, it totally freaks me out.
Uh-huh.
So I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, if you have a child at a playground, be there. If not, frankly, you shouldn't be there. It's something I've heard disturbing.
Park, maybe.
I still find it disturbing. I mean, if I see a man at a playground by himself, I'm thinking, what are you doing here? You
right.
Freak.
Well, what I'm saying is a park that has a playground off in the distance.
Yes, and maybe you're walking the trail. That's okay.
Right.
All right. Here's the thing. They're saying take time to savor ordinary events. I love the smell of grass.
Mm-hmm.
I love to listen to the birds in the morning. I'm one of these people, I actually do this on a daily basis.
Wow.
And I will step outside. As a matter of fact, somebody called me who might be listening tonight. I stepped outside and it was windy.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to feel the wind on my face.
I love the wind.
Yeah, so I just stepped outside and kind of cranked my neck out so
uh-huh.
I could feel the wind blowing because I just think it's such a cool thing. It reminded me of a book I read when I was younger about a guy. It was a horrible book. Who got blown up and he lost all his arms and his legs. And but he could feel
what
a breeze on his
memory.
Face. That wasn't really, but the point is it did make me think of that, and I think, you know, how appreciative he was of that breeze. But I do. I try to take time. So take time to remember what it is that makes a day so special, clouds in the sky, birds singing,
mm-hmm.
the smell of a fresh-cut lawn, maybe seeing a child and their mom at the grocery store, you know, where the little person asks for something and the mother leans down. I think there's something so special about that,
absolutely.
You know. The second thing is avoid comparisons. This is so huge. They say, well, trying to keep up with the Joneses is part of the American culture. Comparing ourselves with others can be damaging to each and every single person's happiness and self-esteem. So instead of trying to compare yourself to others, focus only on your own personal achievements, which will lead to greater satisfaction and self-esteem. So, for instance, you know, who cares what's going on in someone else's life, what they have, what they've acquired, what they've achieved? You know, what did you do in your life that you felt that you were happy about, that you overcame, that you felt, you know, you were successful with? For me, I could say I feel really good about stepping out of the psychic closet, you know, because that was a really hard thing for me to do. I mean, that, you know, talk about people looking at you like, are you insane?
And it took you a while to get comfortable with it.
It did take me a long time to get. You know, I've been doing this 20-some-odd years, but, you know, the first early years were not easy.
I know,
you know?
And I always thought it was very cool.
Yeah, you did. You were always very supportive, and I'm so appreciative of that. And my husband's always been very supportive of that, which is amazing for a very staunch German man. You know, but, you know, he saw and he knew and the things
well,
I predicted and the visions, and the proof. But even so, that's something so other people, you know, they may have created a wonderful architectural building or they may have gotten their law degree or whatever, but for me that is a personal thing. So do you have something that is of personal great significance to you, an achievement you're proud of? It doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering. But that for you, you knew, I know one. I don't know if you want me to say it, but...
Yeah, say it,
okay.
Because I can't think of anything.
Okay, I am going to say this, and I say this with great respect to you. You are a different person now than you were 15 years ago. The person you were 15 years ago, you did not stand up to people.
No, I did
and
not.
And now you stand up to people, and you don't back down, and you stand up for yourself, and I think that's
fantastic.
Well,
and I do.
Yeah.
But I was raised in a family where we weren't allowed to.
Right,
and so
exactly.
It's hard to break that.
But you did, and you had to work on it because it couldn't have been easy when
and
you're
now
raised
I'm,
that way.
I'm a little extreme sometimes.
I don't think you're extreme at all. No, not at all. And if you ever want to know, go to lunch with Jessica. You brought me this, but I ignore this. No, she's not real. I'm making a joke. But seriously, I think it's a great personal achievement because you were able to find yourself and say, you know what, no, I'm going to be able to stand up and say no.
Right.
And
that's true. Well, thank you for thinking of that.
You're welcome, and I think it's great. And this is the third one. They say people who put money high on their priority list are more at risk for depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem.
Really?
Yeah. And they say, according to the researchers, their findings hold true across all nations and cultures. The more we seek satisfaction in material goods, the less we find them. The satisfaction has a very short half-life, and it's very fleeting. So money seekers score lower on tests of vitality and of self-actualization. So I think that makes sense. I think if your goal is money, it's a very empty goal.
Well, yeah.
You can have all the money in the world, but if you haven't nurtured your family and your friendships,
you've
got nothing.
You've got nothing.
Who are you going to spend the money with?
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, seriously.
That'd be a very lonely existence.
It's a very lonely.
Sure.
It's just it's not the way to be. There is nothing more important, you know, and a lot of people say, well, I don't have any family around or I don't have any family.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have family, but friendships.
Right.
Friends are family, and you have to nurture that. And sometimes it's not easy, you know. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would have great, long-lasting friendships.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you get annoyed at your friends. Sometimes you have to help out when you don't want to. Sometimes you have to ask for help, and it's hard for you to ask for help because you're not that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes another person feel needed, and
right.
they appreciate that. So, you know, friendships are really important, and sometimes it takes time to make the call or to send the card. But if you do that, it pays off in riches that can never be measured in gold.
I
really
with
feel that way.
Completely.
The fourth one is having meaningful goals. People who strive for something significant, whether it's learning a new craft or raising moral children, are far more happier than those who don't have strong dreams or aspirations. So it doesn't matter what your dream or aspiration is. They're just saying as humans, we require a sense of meaning to thrive. And so Harvard has a they call him the resident happiness professor. His name is Tal Ben-Shahar. And he says, happiness lies at the intersection between pleasure and meaning. Because I think I saw that on Monopoly. I think I bought those properties. Happiness lies at the intersection between pleasure and meaning. And whether at work or home, the goal is to engage in activities that are both personally significant and enjoyable. And, you know, I think that's something that you and I know, have strived to do, especially
uh-huh.
in the recent years. When you have young children at home, it's always all about the young children.
Oh, yeah.
And we've all been there. But as you start to see your children grow, it's much easier, I think, to carve out some space for yourself
uh-huh.
and to go after some of your own interests and have some new goals.
Well, and they start to have their own lives, so it's much easier for you to create your own.
It really is. And I think it's harder when you have younger children because it's just like, how can you find the time? But I am going to say, I think it's healthier to find that time
uh-huh.
to be able to carve out, even when you have young children, because it's far more rewarding for them to see this
right.
so that they grow up and they duplicate what they're seeing. We talked about this on the last show. People, you know, you don't like nuts. Your daughter
right.
used to love nuts. Now she won't
I
eat
know.
Them.
Isn't that funny?
She learned, I can't touch mayonnaise. It just makes me gag.
Mm-hmm.
And my children will not touch mayonnaise because they used to love it.
Right.
You know, now they won't go near it. So it's. They'll do what they see, and so if you have a goal, it makes a big difference, you know,
right.
no matter how big or small that goal is. Okay, how happy we are, number five, depends on how much initiative you take. So I was like, okay, what does that mean? And they say express creativity, help others, suggest improvements, or do additional tasks even at your job. When our work is more rewarding, we feel more in control. When we feel more in control, we're happier people.
And that's the truth.
And that's true. You know, and I know people over the years that I have worked with who were good at what they do,
uh-huh.
but would not share their knowledge with anybody.
Really?
Because they didn't want the competition. Their attitude was, why should I share what I worked so hard to achieve,
yeah.
the knowledge? And I've always thought that was a selfish way, and my thought process has always been, if I have to keep it in, and it's like it can't be shared, because that almost seems like a greed thing to
mm-hmm.
me. I don't know, but if I have to be afraid about it, then I don't want it. You know what I mean? Does
well,
that make
I
sense?
Think in the job market sometimes you feel threatened.
Yeah.
By, okay, you teach younger people your
mm-hmm.
job, and then you think, okay, great, now they're going to want to replace me with someone younger.
But the point is, if you're good at your job
mm-hmm.
and you're doing exactly what they say, which is constantly helping out, looking for new goals,
mm-hmm.
looking to help out in different ways, suggesting improvements or taking on additional tasks, you will not become obsolete. You'll still be better than that person that
right.
you taught.
Right.
You know, and I think if you don't share it, you don't deserve to have it. That's how I feel.
And that makes sense.
I really feel that way. Number six. We kind of talked about as part of number four, make friends, treasure family. Happier people tend to have good families and or friends and or both and are in supportive relationships. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be married or even dating somebody. It just means you have supportive relationships, people you can go to that you can talk to, whether you're up or down or anywhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're talking about. And it's not enough to be the life of the party. If you're surrounded by shallow acquaintances. So if you're with people, and this is how you, and this is, I've seen this, and we've all been in a friendship with somebody like this, where, you know, you're in this friendship and you suddenly realize that this person really is maybe kind of shallow.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I always think to myself, can I call this person at 3 a.m. and say I have a problem? Not that I ever would or would
right.
want to. I do think of that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I count as my friends, I know I can call morning, noon, or night. They might be groggy, but they'll say, "What do you need?"
Right,
you know.
Right.
And I think, and that's a good way to look at, you know, your friendship. If you can, not that you want to have to do that,
mm-hmm.
but don't you think?
Well, and those are the people you know are always there for you and have
right,
your back.
Right. So we just don't need relationships. We need close relationships that understand, that involve understanding and caring for each other. Number seven, and people, believe me, this works. It sounds so simple, but I swear to you, it works. Happy people They always see possibilities. They always see opportunities. They always see success.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel I'm that way?
Oh, you are, so much so.
It's absolutely, I'm always seeing, is it the bright side of things?
You are the happiest person I know, no matter what's happening in your life.
And here's the thing, though. When people call me, they say, how you doing? I'm always saying great. I'm
mm-hmm.
always great. And even though something is going wrong, I want to be doing great, so I want to say I'm great. And guess what? Even if you weren't born as the type of person who looks at the glass half full, with practice, if you constantly say that, constantly have a good, happy outlook, constantly assume the best is going to happen, even though the world is crumbling around you, eventually it will become habit. And you will smile even though you don't feel like it. And when you do, suddenly you'll be happier. It really does work. It sounds so incredibly
mm-hmm.
stupid and simple.
No, but I believe it. I think the more positive you are, positive things have a tendency to happen to you.
I truly believe
mm-hmm.
it. You know, I know even sometimes, like, you know, if my husband says, oh, well, I'm not so happy that, you know, this happened at the business or this happened at the company. And I'll say, oh, don't worry, though, because I see something really good company. Yeah, well, it's easy for me to say that because
right.
I see it, right?
Right?
And I'll say, well, don't worry, in about 4 months you're going to see something. And he'll go, oh, good.
Awesome to have the ability to see
right.
beyond the moment.
And I recognize
that.
That
probably helps you.
I'm sure it does because I always know when the next good turn is coming.
Right.
So it's like,
For the rest of us, we're like, we see today. Hard
True.
To look 4 months from now, you know?
Well, call me. I will tell you when the good things are coming. So
okay.
you'll know you have good things coming, good things to look forward to. But truthfully, smile. Always smile.
Right.
Always, always smile. Say thank you like you mean it. People who keep gratitude journals, they've done a study, on a weekly basis are healthier, more optimistic, and more likely to make progress towards achieving their personal goals and their life goals. And they've done this research by the founder of Positive Psychology who revealed that people who write gratitude letters to someone who made a difference in their lives score higher on happiness and lower on depression, and the effect will last for weeks.
Wow.
Now, think about that. So,
a gratitude journal, and what is that? Just the things you're
things
grateful,
I'm grateful
for in
for.
Life?
Yeah,
okay.
like, well, you know, and each day. And you know, like you woke up, and it doesn't matter if it's the same thing each day. Like, if I were to sit at my kitchen table, because I'll never mind, I'm grateful for coffee. Dear God, thank you for coffee. Because I would die without
well, that's
coffee.
That's mine every morning.
Okay, so I would say thank you for this great cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for that bird that's singing, because I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And or maybe thank you for the breeze that just blew and made those branches go, because I like to watch
mm-hmm.
it. If you live in Florida, we have palm trees. There's nothing prettier than palm
yeah.
trees blowing.
And we have beautiful weather to look at on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. And so I would say thank you for that. That would be a good thing. But as the day goes on, you could write it in the morning, you can write it at night, you can write it throughout the day. What other things are you grateful for?
Chocolate.
You know, okay, yeah, chocolate. There's
I love chocolate.
See, okay, so you're grateful. You write chocolate in there. I remember today I had to pick my dog up from my husband's business because he had to go see a client, and he takes her to the office
uh-huh.
every day. And I got tied up on a call, and I said, well, just I'll be there. Just lock her in. I'll be there.
Uh-huh.
And my youngest daughter said, I'll go with you. And I said, great. And so we drove over together. And I just looked at her, and she was smiling and happy.
Uh-huh.
And I grabbed her hand, and I said, I so appreciate you. And to me, that was such a feel-good moment. You know what I mean? Because you do.
Yeah.
You appreciate
right.
you know, things like just there was
just
nothing.
Just a simple thing being
yeah,
together.
Just, you know, and she said, "Is it okay if I turn on the radio?" I appreciated that she asked because my other daughter doesn't. So I appreciated that.
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, just don't make it too loud." So that would go. You know, it's silly little things like
no,
this,
I agree
right?
with you.
You got a call today from a friend.
Yes.
Who's taking you to see John Edwards?
Yeah.
And tell me you didn't appreciate that.
Oh, my gosh.
How awesome
I practically did a backflip.
Yes, there you go. Just
if
awesome.
I could have done a backflip, I would have.
I was so be grateful be grateful that you had the urge to want to do a
That's
backflip.
Right.
There you go. So these are the kind of things. And if you were to keep a gratitude journal, it would make you appreciate all the things. But most importantly, lower rates of depression and the effects last for weeks. So can you imagine if you're writing it every day, it'll last forever.
Hmm.
And that will increase lower. It will
so you
increase
can take
your happiness
that
factor.
Part of your like daily journal type thing.
Daily journal type thing,
mm-hmm.
and I do keep a journal of ideas and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I jot down what I'm grateful for, but I do generally have to say I don't. But I think I'm going to start now.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
you can incorporate it in.
I think I need to because I have it. If you look around my office, I always have journals everywhere. Because when I get a thought or idea or whatever a phrase, I
mm-hmm.
want to put it down, and I'm going to start incorporating my gratitude.
I have
top.
Never had a journal or diary in my whole life. Isn't that funny?
No, it's not. It's because you don't want anybody to pick it up and read it.
Probably.
You don't want a hard copy of
in
your feelings
house,
out there.
It would be
yes,
red, probably.
It would be, and personally, that's why I did not. I kept a diary. I think I wrote 10 pages when I was a kid because I thought, I don't want there to be a hard copy.
My sister had a diary, and I remember breaking into it. Isn't that terrible?
Well, I broke into my sister's diary, too, and by the way, it was with a skewer that my mom used to make shish kebab with. We're awful people. They're going to say, what, this is a Christian show? But the truth is, yes, I did. I did, too, see?
Well, because they won't tell you anything.
No, so that's where you get the diary. I found
that
she was cleaning her toes with my brush. I threw out the brush, and
it was really disgusting.
My sister would kill me now. My sister is now remaining nameless for the rest of these shows ever. She would so kill me. Oh, my God. Okay, so here we go. Number 9 is get out and exercise. Duke University study shows that exercise is just as effective as drugs in treating depression.
Mm-hmm, I believe that.
Without all the side effects and the expense. And other research has shown that in addition to the health, benefits, regular exercise offers a sense of accomplishment and opportunity for social interaction, which is absolutely true. It releases the feel-good endorphins and it boosts self-esteem, but I remember I used to go and walk at the mall in the mornings because
uh-huh.
it's air conditioned and I'm lazy. and so I used to go years ago and walk the mall. And you get to meet people.
Yeah.
And what was kind of cool is so maybe throughout the rest of your week or day, you run into them in different places and they smile and nod. It's kind of like an extension of your family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was kind of cool. So I thought that was always kind of neat. And the last one is give it away now. Make giving away things part of your life and be purposeful about it. Helping a neighbor, volunteering or donating goods or services results in what they call a helper's high, and it gives you more health benefits than you would from exercising or quitting smoking.
Really?
And that is scientifically proven, yeah.
Wow.
Listening to a friend who's maybe got a problem or passing on your skills or celebrating someone else's success, even though you're not having success yourself,
uh-huh.
because I know that's one thing I hear a lot when people call me up, they're frustrated because so-and-so's had so much success and they're not having any, and why aren't they having any? And instead of embracing their friend's success, they're like, why am I not having success? Embrace your friend's success. Embrace your cousin's success. Embrace, your brother or sister's successes, because in doing so, it will make you happier. And that's important. So we find that those who spend money on others reported a much greater happiness level than those who spend it on themselves.
That makes
they
sense.
Have obviously not met my oldest daughter. However, I'm only kidding. But the truth is that these type of things, so those were 10 things that can make you.
Yeah, and they're pretty simple things.
They're simple things,
mm-hmm.
little life changes. And I know a lot of people didn't write these down, but, you can go back to the podcast of this show. It's going to be on there for eternity or as long as Blog Talk is in
which could be eternity.
Which could be eternity, and you can put, just put in today's date, and it'll bring up the show, and you could re-listen to it and make some notes, because it's really good. I'm going to tell you, the gratitude journal is one that I think is important.
Yeah, that's something I might think about.
I think it's a good idea. So here's the last question. Are we as happy as the Amish people?
Well, probably not, because I think the Amish people are very simple people, and they don't have all these high-tech everything to keep you occupied during the course of the day,
And they have to be social,
right? So you interact with your family and people that you love and,
mm-hmm.
Take care of your home and your gardens and all that regular, everyday stuff.
And isn't that funny? Because it's funny you just said that. I have a daughter who is hooked on Supernatural on Netflix. I think there's 9 seasons. She's in season 4.
Oh, wow.
And every day when I come in, she's watching it. And I said, I want you to turn that off. First of all, I've watched it. It's very good. But it gets a little weird, and I don't like their whole view on angels.
It's a little creepy.
I don't like their view on angels. But that aside, I said to her, I said, you know, you're getting addicted to this. And she said, no, I'm not. I said, but you are, because instead of going out with a friend like you normally would, you're sitting here in the dark watching the show. I think you need to stop. And I actually told her I was going to take the control away if it didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed it has now ceased.
Oh, that's good.
She, yes, because she was getting...
Well, once in a while watching it is okay.
No, but when you, and they do, and I notice all teens do this. They get on Netflix, they watch a series that somebody else mentioned to them.
Yeah.
And they are watching episode after episode after episode.
I just
got
hooked on one myself, but I finished it.
You,
I finished the episode.
How many seasons was it?
3.
Okay, see?
But I've been watching it over the course of 2 weeks.
3 weeks?
But
okay.
You're talking a
26 shows per season, or?
No.
Okay.
It's a Showtime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's different. Yeah, okay, so that's probably like 18 shows.
Yeah,
total.
No, I don't have enough patience to sit and watch TV that long.
Oh, I would go insane, and so this is the thing. The Amish eat well. They work hard.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, they sleep well. Okay. Sleeping well improves our mood, our mental health. Insomnia is associated with tiredness, mental illness, and depression, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The Amish have a support structure where if something goes wrong in the community, you know, or they need help financially and emotionally, it's there.
Right.
It's there for
mm-hmm.
them. You know, we talked to Melissa tonight who was really worried, you know,
mm-hmm.
didn't want to have to resort to things that would cause bad karma for her.
Right.
But needs to keep a roof over her head and people fed.
Uh-huh.
So the Amish don't have to worry about that. So they don't have the stress of worrying about it.
Right.
Coupled with knowing that they always have an extended family community
to
reach out to.
Well, that you always have someone to count on.
If you need food, people send food over. If you need someone to babysit your kids, there's someone there. If your barn has been broken down or
mm-hmm.
a storm takes it away, they will build. They help build barns and homes and donate money in times of need. This makes the Amish very secure. They also have a very strong, deep, deep faith, which also helps. By the way, I don't know if you know this, the Amish do not take out loans or mortgages, so they don't face the stress of paying back debts.
Well, that's awesome. Then you own everything you have.
Everything you have, you've either worked for, or you traded for, or you bartered for, or was given to you. And so you don't have the stress of finance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the stress of, what if I get ill? Who's going to take care of me?
Right.
They take care of each other. They're a community, and they have a really strong faith. So that's why the Amish are actually extremely happy people.
Hmm.
You know? I'm not saying that everyone should go out
and become Amish.
And become Amish, exactly. Some people cannot grow facial hair, so that would be a good reason not to become Amish. No, I'm making a joke, but seriously, you know, I'm not saying that everyone become Amish. I'm just saying, yeah, they have a simpler way of life, but their system works.
It does make sense. Well, small communities, I mean, tend to be a closer-knit group, I think, anyway.
Well, and they just did a study, and a lot of the Amish children are choosing to stay in the church. And,
really?
And I think that's pretty incredible, yeah.
Wow.
You know, they don't have cell phones that they are playing with at night and not talking at the dinner
right.
table. You know, during commercials, people used to talk even when they watched TV.
Mm-hmm.
Now during commercials, everyone's texting. Have you ever noticed?
Not me.
Well, not you, because your phone
I'm
is a horrible, horrible example of a smartphone.
Even if I didn't, I'm just not hooked on my phone. I don't think I ever will be.
If you had one that actually sent the pictures and received the pictures when someone sends them, you might get hooked. Who knows? You'd say, oh, wow, that's what that is.
I don't think so.
Oh, now I'm digging a hole for myself. But I think that not having technology is good. And they say that when people suffer from insomnia now, first thing doctors do is say, unplug.
Yeah.
Unplug.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the laptop. Get rid of the cell phone. Get rid of any kind of electronic type device in your room. and turn out the lights, and you'll go to sleep much quicker and with a more restful, deep sleep.
And that's probably true, but I cannot fall asleep without the TV on.
Let me tell you a funny story. We have a place in Maine, and when we go up there during the summer, you can't get cell phone signal. And
you guys almost go into withdrawal.
We do. We do. The first couple of days are really bad. We're all kind of hunched over, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we have yeah, – but – from that point forward, we sleep like rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And we always say we can't wait to get up there because we sleep so good.
Yeah.
Why do we sleep so good? Because we don't have all this technology around us.
Well,
I'm not plugging in my iPad, plugging in my cell phone, checking my email. I'm not doing it. You know, I'm just not. And it's so peaceful. And you wake up in the morning listening to the river, you know.
That's nice.
I mean, what could be better?
I would love
you
that.
You know? An occasional move. So it's really, I'm telling you, we sleep so heavy up
mm-hmm.
there, and it's because we unplug. So I think there's something to that.
I agree.
I think there's something to it. I'm not going to unplug now, but, you know, because we couldn't finish the show. Yeah, can you see? I know. It's really hard for me.
You're a very plugged-in person.
Yeah. I actually, at one point in time, and I do not do this any longer because it was giving me brain spasms, I used to have two computers going at once.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I would work one with one hand and the other with the other hand when I had to do, like, I used to do a lot of real estate and
mm-hmm.
property stuff. And I don't do that anymore. No.
That's too much.
Yeah, what I was thinking. My brain never rested.
I guess for me, I can't focus on that many things at one time.
I don't know how I did, because technically you're not supposed to be able to. I think it was really just you'd be bringing up one and then you'd bring up the other, and while that was
you're
loading, you'd bring up
the
other, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and it worked, but I'm glad I'm not that plugged in anymore. But I'm going to have a hard time when I go to Maine this
mm-hmm.
summer. Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time. You'll find out. You'll be coming up for a week. So
yeah, it's the phone.
You'll laugh at me.
You are attached to your phone so much. That phone is never more than 2 inches away from your body.
I often wake up with a phone imprint on my thigh. I'm going to admit it. Usually there's something hard under my back, my thigh. I'm like, what is that? And it's my cell phone. Yeah, it's true. Why is that?
I don't know. Because
don't
for me,
know.
I don't even half the time take my phone out of my purse.
We went out before the show tonight with my daughters to my daughter has a Mac interview.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, which she's
I know,
very
so excited
about. And she wanted to get some pictures printed so she could show them examples of her work. And you left your cell phone at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got back, you said, oh, I knew I left my phone here. And I thought, how could you have walked anywhere without your phone? I cannot imagine. I cannot fathom it.
As long as I know my daughter is somewhere
safe. You're
I don't
okay.
even think about my phone.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that funny?
No, I think it's pretty cool, actually. I actually wish I could adopt that because
yeah,
that is
know.
One thing I really need to work
yeah.
on. Yeah. I'm going to have a whole summer to do that. Okay.
And it'll be entertaining to me.
I will still be doing readings, by the way, this summer. I do have a landline in Maine, and all my calls are forwarded up there. But I only check my email a couple of times a day, so, yeah.
You're not so disconnected.
I'm not so disconnected. I am a little bit. It's all by satellite, but at least I get a connection. Okay, let's take our next caller who's calling in from area code 240 with a prefix of 377. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Who's this?
This is Connie from Maryland.
Hi, Connie. Thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry you had to wait so long. We kind of talked about happiness and technology maybe longer than we should have, but I hope you've been enjoying the show.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Good. How can I help you?
I wanted to know what's coming in for me in the way of employment.
Okay, let me take a look here. Okay. Are you involved in showing something in your job? I know that sounds like a weird thing to say. I don't know why I said that, but that's what I'm getting. Are you involved in, do you have to present things with your job or show things to people with your job or the job you're looking for?
Not in my present position, no.
In the job you're looking for? Are you looking for something that's more marketing related, sales related?
No, not marketing or sales.
Because this is what I'm getting. You're going to be showing things that of significant value. And I don't know what that means, but that's what I see. You're going to be showing things of significant value. Not showed things, but showing things, which is far different. And I see there's a level of frustration with your current position. I see that as you move forward, you're looking more for opportunity. Is the frustration with the job or the people?
Both.
Okay. The thing that they're telling me is same old, same old, which means you get what you put into it, and they're wanting me to share that with you. You will get out of any job what you put into it. So if you don't put 110% into it, and I'm not saying you're not, please don't misunderstand me, but I think you used to put a whole lot more in than you do now. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what they're showing me is that if you make application to the right companies, your job will involve showing things of significant value. I don't know what that means. You will know what that means when you start looking. So when you start going down the classifieds and bingo, you see this thing, it will almost light up for you. Do you know what I'm talking about? You'll be like, that's the thing I'm supposed to call on. And you will be showing something of significant value to others. I don't know if it's in what way, shape, or form. I have no idea, but that's what you will be doing. It may not necessarily be sales. You may just be showing it as a employee of this company and sharing it with, I don't know, the board. I don't know. But I do see that that's what's going to be happening. So you could take that to the bank, because if I see it so clearly, that's the kind of job you're going to be involved in.
Okay. Is there a season attached to that?
A season, you mean like when that's going to happen? Mm-hmm. October. So, Connie, put down October on a piece of paper, and every single morning, do this for me. I promise you, you'll see the results. Every single morning, I want you to write down October, windfall. October, windfall. Now, a windfall can come in two different ways. It could come with either great success with a new job or financial success because you won the lottery. I think this is going to come more job related, but I see a windfall coming your way, a great success that's going to cause you a lot of happiness. So, but I see that in October. You write that down every single morning, once, twice, three times if you want, but at least write it once a day, and you watch what happens. Okay.
All right.
Windfall, October. You watch. Sound fair?
Yeah.
Okay, what other question did you have? Because I saw you had another one. Yeah, I can sense it. Go ahead.
What angels are around me and how do I work with them?
Okay. The very first angel that comes through first and foremost is Archangel Raphael, okay? Now, Raphael, as you know, all the angels are not they're not gender specific, okay? But Raphael often comes up because he's considered the angel of healers and those in need of healing. And also, he's also one who presents the ability for all of us to maintain a healthy consciousness level, not only with our health, but also in our spiritualness. So do you have the need for healing?
My daughter more so than myself.
Okay, that would explain it. Okay, and let me see here. Does your daughter, I'm getting a warming in two different places. One is in the head, and you can explain that. And then the other is down by her feet. So tell me what's going on there. Are we dealing with warming, meaning where there are issues? So how old is your daughter?
She's 20.
Okay, I was gonna say 19. So, is she having issues with her head? When I say head, issues with maybe not 100% mental health the way you would like it to be.
Yeah, along those lines.
I understand. I know what you're saying. You don't have to say it. I know exactly. You know that people often do things to make themselves feel better. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of something that she's involved in. And that comes with not having happiness in her heart and in her mind. And that's where that healing needs to take place. Okay? Does your daughter have an addiction problem of some kind?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Is she involved in something that's unhealthy?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I feel like she has a self-esteem issue, and she does things to overcompensate for that in ways she shouldn't be overcompensating. Does this make sense?
No.
Okay. This is what I'm getting. Can you share with us in a way that wouldn't make anyone know who she is, what her issue is?
She still harbors some resentment and borderline hate towards me for not being the best mother that I could have been to her in the past, and I have apologized and apologized and apologized and tried to better the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what is she doing?
She can't get past it. Is she living with you?
Yeah.
Okay. What is she doing socially? Is she going out?
Yeah, she has friends that she goes out with on occasion.
Mm-hmm. How is her eating habits?
Just normal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put this to you another way. Is she eating healthy?
Oh, what do you mean healthy? I mean, she doesn't do salads or anything. I mean, when I cook, she eats.
Mm-hmm.
We get out every once in
okay.
a while.
Okay, so this we're going to go back to what I originally said: a warming in the head, in the brain. And is she suffering from something, either self medicating and or having issues with depression or anxiety, or she's having anger issues. Those anger
mm-hmm.
issues are directed at you. You feel
mm-hmm.
like you have to kind of stand up for yourself. You have to kind of, you know, beat your own chest because she feels like you didn't do the job that you could have done.
Right.
You feel like you did the best you could under the circumstances. You always feel you could do better, but you felt you did.
Right.
Am I correct? Okay.
Right.
So based on all of that, what your daughter is, I'm going to say there's a little bit of a selfishness factor going on here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And generally, I see her not eating as healthy as she's supposed to. I think she eats a lot of junk food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that doesn't make her maintain a healthy mental attitude, but more than that, she makes you become reactive to her. So you start to react when she gets snotty, if I may say that word. Please forgive me. I hope I don't
mm-hmm.
offend you. Okay.
No, that's exactly it.
Okay. And so when she gets that way, you become reactive, and then it turns into this thing that it never supposed to turn into, and she's like your puppet master, and you hate it, but you don't know how to get out of it because it's almost running on a continual loop. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So number one, the best way to not allow somebody to push your buttons or make their boat move in your direction is to take the wind out of their sails. So how do you do that? You do not react when she pushes your buttons. And you very calmly, after the event, say to her, I realize you wanted me to react. You wanted me to feel the anger you were feeling, and you wanted someone to blame. However, I love you, and I don't want to treat you with disrespect, and I hope you feel the same way about me. And then you move on. You do not react. The funny thing is, children, even in their 20s, are very much like bullies on a playground because they know somebody's weakness, and they just love to pour salt in that, okay? So what I want you to do is to stop reacting. You need to stop reacting. When the situations come, you then make a statement that's based on logic but shows unconditional love towards her because you never want her to feel like you're withholding love as a condition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think you'll find if you take the wind out of her sails, she'll no longer have any benefit to do that, and your relationship can, it's a beginning, it's a start to change.
Okay.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you've got to stop feeling whatever guilt you feel. You've got to stop. You're one human being. You did the best you could. Stop feeling guilt. The woulda, coulda, shouldas. You can play that game till the cows come home. But as Oprah always said, one of the best ways to forgive the past is to agree that you can't change it. You can only live today. Live today right. That's what you do. Okay, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has this been helpful somewhat?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Any other? Okay.
Right now, no.
Yes,
I think that's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. So I don't have anything else for you right now. I just want you to know that I will pray for you. And Raphael is surrounding you, which means that healing is there. You just got to ask for it. Ask Archangel Raphael to help you and your daughter heal your relationship, okay?
Okay.
All right, honey. Listen, thank you for calling in, all right?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. God bless you. Bye-bye now. All righty. And we are going to go ahead and take a short song break here. We'll be back in two. Jessica's going to hum because...
I'm going to say, am I supposed to sing now?
No, it would seem that our switchboard has frozen up, which is certainly not the first time that that's happened, is it?
You didn't need a break, did you?
You know, this is the story of my life. Let's see if we can bring it up another way here real quick, make life a little bit easier.
We have more trouble with this stuff.
We do. You know, and really, we're pretty smart people. We shouldn't have so much difficulty with stuff.
It seems to lock up frequently.
It really does, and so I'm gonna try something here real quick to try and unlock it, and in the meantime, I'm going to ask you because...
Because you want me to sing?
Yeah, I want you to sing. do you...
That might be frightening.
Do you feel that... Did you know we have an Amish community here in Florida, you know?
Where?
Did you know that? I think it's down towards Sarasota area.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I really do want to go. I want to go see that. I think it'd be cool.
I would love to see that. I mean, we used to live in New Jersey, so Pennsylvania was right there.
Right.
We used to see Amish people all the time.
All the time, and I loved it. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And I remember when my kids were smaller, we used to go out to we were in Ohio when my kids were smaller, and we used to go out there and visit the Amish people. And they used to give them rides on the horses. We'd drive by and
go
to pet the horses. And I remember one of the families, they were really good people. And he always used to come out and say, would you like me to give him a ride? And he'd just hold them on the horse and walk around. It was really kind of cute. It was sweet. Okay, so now we can take a very, very short song break, and we will be back in hopefully 2 seconds or three.
Not 2 seconds, or that means you didn't get a break.
All right. 2 minutes. We'll be back in 2 minutes, I promise. No longer than that.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you each step of the way, and I will always love you, will always love you. That's all I am taking with me. Goodbye, please don't cry. We both know that I'm not what you need. And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all of this, I wish you love.
Welcome back to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica. That's
who
my co-host.
Apparently now challenged. What is that? I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say she just showed me a picture of a gentleman she's speaking with. On which site is that?
Senior People.
Senior People Meet, and he's really cute.
Isn't he cute?
He's very cute. Yeah. Let me look at him again. He has good energy. He's been hurt, and he used to drink a little bit, but he's a nice guy. He doesn't anymore.
We'll see.
You'll see. You'll like that. He's nice. He's cute. He likes the water.
Just very good.
I know, which is good for you. I don't know if he's mentioned that at all.
He did.
See?
The beach.
There you go. Amazing. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and try and take our next caller because this is all working so very well at this point. It's working at all. Shh, don't tell them it's not working. It's like jammed up. This happens sometimes with Blog Talk Radio. You know, they do their best, but
Well, I think maybe when you get an overflux of callers. Is that a word?
Sometimes, yeah.
Overflow
or the flux capacitor from
Back to the Future.
Yes, when the flux capacitor is full, I'm logging back into the studio, folks. I'm really sorry. None of your calls will be dropped. It's just a matter of being able to be able to access you and turn your call live. So I'm going to try and get that next caller live right now. That next caller, hopefully that will be going live, is calling from area code 914 with a prefix of 609. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. What's your first name?
It's Charity.
Charity, well, welcome to the show, Charity. What part of the country are you calling from?
New York.
New York, New York. Not really New York, New York. I know that. Is this like upstate New York?
Yes.
Oh, good, wonderful. Don't worry, I'm not going to name the town. I don't know it, and I wouldn't name it if I did. So I noticed this all of a sudden. You're like, oh no, oh no. It's okay, really. How can I help you tonight?
I've been going through a lot of changes, and I've been having some issues with my son, and I'm not quite sure with my oldest son, and I'm just trying to, you know, decide if I'm on the right track with the correct doctors that we have.
Okay. Does the doctor you currently have, does his name end in a D, or does he have a D in his name? D.
I have a few doctors.
Okay. The one that is there, I'm just going to come out and say a name. David Donaldson, something like this?
Could it be a Kins?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a woman doctor like that.
Okay, good. And is she working with him?
Supposedly. She's supposed to be the primary physician that coordinates.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's doing her job. I think one of the things she's trying to do is to exclude certain things so she knows what direction to go in. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like that's what's going on right now. And she is doing her job. It just seems like it's not happening as quickly or as fastly. Yes, because I'm an English major, you know. it's not happening as fast as you would like it to. But I do see that she is doing her best to do this and yet still service all her other patients that she does currently have. So I think your job is to stay on top of it and keep a file and always ask and don't assume anything.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I've been having a lot of – he's had so many appointments, you know, like you said, to rule out a lot of things.
Right.
And it's just caused, complete chaos. You know, with all of his absences from school and his hospital admissions, and
I understand.
It's just become really overwhelming because sometimes they'll call her and she hasn't read a report from the specialist for over a month and doesn't even know we were there for a week.
Okay, and so here's the thing. This is what I want to tell you. This is where you got to be your own best doctor sometimes. So when he comes home from the hospital or is in the hospital, you're going to make sure you notify the office and let them know that he's there and they're running test X, Y, and Z, and that those records will be sent to her. And then you're going to stop in. Either I'm assuming you have a chance at some point in time to stop into the office or call them, and you're going to say, did the doctor have a chance to review those, and where do we go from here? So you have to be really diligent, because if it was a month, that means you were just sitting there waiting for her to call. And believe me, I understand more than you can ever imagine. But if you're sitting there waiting for the doctor to call and they're not, they may not even know, and in this case they didn't, that he was even in the hospital, because people do fall through the cracks, which is why it's so great to have an advocate when you're having health problems, somebody who can advocate for you. And that's who you are for him. Okay.
Yeah, that's been the biggest issue, is getting through to her. It's really difficult.
Well, she's
I'm not
busy.
Quite sure why.
She's got a lot of patients, and she has a really great set of what I, and I say set of gatekeepers, not just one, because I see there's more than one. And they make sure that she's not too accessible. And I don't think that you are being ridiculous in your requests for information because you're trying to seek an answer. Now, I see that you have gone to another doctor, and you were not happy with that doctor?
Yeah, his neurologist. We're having a little bit of difficulty with.
Okay, all righty. So what would your alternative be going, what would you do now? What would your alternative be?
Well, I've just been trying to go over all of the paperwork and try to get an appointment for a second opinion with another neuro. I'm just
there
waiting for the second MRI results.
And that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to find another one. And this is what I want you always to ask this question. You go to your primary care physician, and you say, if this was your son or your daughter, who would you take them to? What would be your next step?
Oh, that's a good idea.
When you say that to a doctor, it's amazing how they stop in their tracks every time, and they take a deep breath, and they think about it, and they think, what would I do? Well, if I were you, I probably would have run this test, and then I would have gone to see this doctor, and I would have insisted that this doctor saw him too. And I think if you and write it down, go in with paper in hand, a pad and a pencil, and say, if this was your son or daughter, what would you do? Who would you take him to? Who would you take her to? And wait for that answer.
Okay.
Okay. That will help
you. I'll definitely try that tomorrow.
Good deal. And remember, you are your son's best advocate in this. You must stay on top of everything. And you know what? No one ever died from being annoying. But there are plenty of people who didn't survive because people didn't take the time to pick up the phone and make a call. So you be annoying as you need to be to get the answers you need to get.
Okay, yeah, I think that's my problem. When I call, I'm like, all right, I'll wait another week, and then I call back in a week, and I'm like, well, now we're at a month, and I still haven't heard back. So.
And then only to find out that they didn't even know. And,
yeah,
and that's
they didn't
the most
even get
frustrating
the paperwork.
Thing. Right. Well, exactly.
Which I would have gone and picked up and delivered to them, which is what I left the message to make sure it was there. But I think you're right. I have to be a little more persistent.
Somebody who I admire very much told me recently to always make sure when anybody gets sick, you get a copy of the file, because you create files and you paid for those tests. You have a right to have a copy of them.
Oh, I started now. I'm on my way. I just can't look back. I wish I did it 4 months ago. But
oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda. We're not going to play that game. You know better than that. You know, we all learn as we go, and you are too, and you love your son, and you're doing everything you can for him. However, you stay on top of it. And so if it requires you getting test results faxed to you and then you hand-delivering them to the doctor and asking by what date, if you have not heard from the doctor, should you call them on?
Okay, great.
Always
that's
set timetables.
That's all the things
okay.
I've been contemplating, so this is really good validation.
Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. I think you called the right person tonight, that's for sure. I actually had some experience with that recently with somebody, so I can really appreciate that, and I know how frustrating it can be. But don't worry. This is going to get worked out. I just know it is. Okay?
Thank you so
much. I know it is. You're welcome, Terry. Thank you. Good. I'm glad. That's amen to that. Thank God for that. You enjoy your evening up there in New York, okay?
You too. Thank you, girl.
You're welcome.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye now. Well, she was sweet.
She
I
was
liked
sweet.
Her. She was sweet. Okay, our next caller is calling in from area code 618 with a prefix of 355. No, excuse me, 335. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi, Jenny. This is Tina.
Huh? Tina, hi, hi. How are you, Tina?
I'm doing okay. I just about given up on you, though.
You've given up on me? Why? No. Why would you give up on me?
So, the lady from Louisiana that's in college, I think we need to form an old ladies college support group.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a really good idea. You can't give up on me. If you can't get a hold of me, get me on Facebook. You know that. Message
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah.
Because you
yeah,
can always
yeah.
get me there.
Unless
I'm in Maine this summer, then you're going to have to call me on the phone. But tell me, how are things going? How's school going?
I'm crying less, so that's a good thing.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. We need the support for this stuff. But
okay. How are the eyes?
I have an appointment specialist tomorrow, so that's kind of got me nervous. But it's the next step, so we'll see what happens.
Well, it's the next step, and I'm being told there is going to be a procedure done, which you already know about.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But they're saying you're fearing it more than you need to.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
I'm scared to death, so.
Don't be, hon, don't be. This is, you know, one thing I can tell you is I'm getting what I call an off-the-charts positive on this. Off the charts.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, Jessica can say it's off the charts positive. You're not going to have to worry about this. This is going to go so much smoother than you anticipated, and Tina, you're not going to have to worry, okay? What is your big fear, losing your sight or having pain?
I think just going through the procedure and just, this is my eye. I mean, that just kind of freaks me out, this whole thing.
I was
and just
going to say that's it, yeah.
And losing my sight too, so but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that it's going to be successful, and you're going to be okay, and you're not going to have to worry about it, and it's going to go much smoother, and when it's all done, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I was so freaked out over this, and it's okay. It's okay. I don't want to say too much on air, but is this a lens implant or cornea?
Cornea.
Okay, all righty. And did they give you the rates of success with this?
Yes. I mean, it's on the positive side, but it still kind of freaks me out. So.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to tell you. I know several people have had them done, and I can tell you that two people that had them done, and they both. We're thrilled with it, beyond thrilled with it. And the only thing the one person had said to me, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, but somehow I feel like this might be applicable to you. They were afraid that they would start having thoughts or seeing things of the person whose cornea they got. Does that make sense?
Actually, I have thought about that. I've seen too many horror movies, so yeah.
Right. Okay. So that number one, no. Okay. Don't. I knew that had to be it because I was getting that message. Don't go there. Number one, that didn't happen. But what they did have was a whole new appreciation for their vision. I can tell you that. And
yeah.
And I know you appreciate your vision. And did you ever think that now you did finish school, right? Just about.
End of April, and that's kind of my other concern is it's kind of I don't know whether I should put this procedure off until after I finish, or I don't know if I should just. My fear is I'm going to have to take some incompletes because I've already fell behind in some things. But I just got to where it was just like I just can't keep up with this way this is affecting me. So, something's got to
be. Well, you have no depth anymore, right? I mean, you can't orientation-wise.
No. And driving is really treacherous. And I,
right.
It's like I have a 90-minute drive. It freaks me out.
There's a good reason for everything. I'm going to say this to you, and you'll appreciate this, you more than anyone else I could ever talk to tonight. Sometimes we need to not be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the only way that can happen is maybe to move up a surgery that didn't see a need for it to be done. Sometimes the goal by God is not to have you on the road at a specific time when something will happen. And maybe this was going to happen anyway, but he knew that this needed to happen now so that you're not in the place at the wrong time. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay. And I really think that's the case because I know you're moving forward. I know what you're studying for. I know what you're going to be when you graduate. And I can't think of a person more well-suited to do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, are you still thinking of coming to Florida?
Yeah, it's on the table. I'm just not sure. I need to get in 3 surgeries next summer. Not sure how I'm going to do all this before I can even look for a job. So.
Well, don't worry about that. When you're ready, Jessica has a connection to somebody in the field, and she can help you. And I'm going to have you stay on the line, and I'm going to play us out with a song because we've only got 3 minutes left to the show anyway. And I'll have the three of us on the line together because I think it's important. So hold on tight for me for a minute. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We truly appreciate you taking the time. I wish I could have gotten to all the callers. I tried. We didn't quite make that tonight, but I will try harder next week, I promise you. Please tune in next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm going to play a song, and Tina, you just hold tight. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Oh,
take up to a full year for it to work as effectively as you want it to. But most of the transplant enjoy good vision for the rest of their years, you know. So don't worry. I mean,
okay.
Really, my dad had a lens implant, and which is very similar, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's fantastic. I mean, I know a lot of people have had stuff like that done. He was a nervous wreck, too. It was a piece of cake. He said he was surprised how easy it was. It was more the fear of knowing what was going to happen that he would be able to see.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of everything with me. But
I know. I know. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
But hear me out here. You're going to chip away at these one at a time. And by the time summer's over, you're going to be in recovery mode and doing well. And from that point forward, you'll have a degree in hand. And look out, people, because here she comes.
I appreciate the encouragement because I'm, you know, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with the health issues and trying to keep up with school. So, you know, like I said, I'm not sure if I'm going to have to take some incompletes. Because I'm behind in my practicum hours, so I'm going to try to get all that in. But
you'll be able to do it. I know you can. Just be careful with your driving. That's all I'm telling you. Take extra time. If you have to, get up earlier. Because that is the only thing that will hold you back. So you'll get your hours in. The eye is a nuisance and a pain, but you can get through this for the next 6 weeks. You can do this.
Okay.
And then you will graduate. And then all this work has not been for naught. And there you have your master's, and no one can take that away from you, even if you have one good eye, which you're going to have two. Trust me on this. And you're having knee surgery, aren't you?
Knee and foot.
Yeah, I feel the knee, so that I knew. What's the foot surgery for?
I have scar tissue wrapped around my foot that was broken years ago, and it causes me constant pain at night because it spasms.
Sure, okay.
So that's scheduled for May 9th, and I'm probably going to have to put it back because I've got to finish my practicum hours. So
right, okay.
I have to wait another 6 weeks before I can have knee surgery because.
And what are they
going to
do on the knee?
I have to have a knee replacement.
Okay.
I've needed a long time, but have had insurance, so now I have a medical card. So I am getting that.
Thank God, Obama. Right.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Yep. And let me tell you something. I also know somebody who just had a total knee replacement, and I'm not going to say it's a piece of cake. But you're doing fine.
I've known several people that have had it done. So, you know, my friends are all, you know, we're all falling apart at this age. So
join the club, sweetie. Jessica and I were just saying that. We were, Tina, you know who Tina is? She made my daughter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Jessica and I were just talking about it the other day, you know, how our gray's coming in, our skin is sagging.
My gosh, it's depressing.
It is, but you know what? Do not let it get you. You know, okay, just like you're driving a car, it needs maintenance, so do we. We'll get the maintenance. We're good for another 100,000 miles.
That's right.
Okay?
Okay, dear. Thank you so much.
Listen, take care, sweetie. I'll be praying for you.
Okay,
all right,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.